We return all the glory to you, because there is nothing we can do of ourselves except you in us that works your glory and works your purpose. That day, this morning, I pray, O God, that we will know you more and more in the name of Jesus. Our knowledge of you will abound to us in blessings, in understanding, in strength, in power, in vision, in holiness, in righteousness, in the name of Jesus. Daddy, show your presence here by the way you are going to touch every life with your word, O God. So much so, O God, that none of us will leave this church and go home and remain the same again, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' glorious name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we are going to continue from where we stopped last week. Knowing God is your qualification for heavenly citizenship. Knowing God is your qualification for heavenly citizenship. Let's go back to the book of John, chapter 17, verse 3. John 17, 3. Jesus was the one speaking there, and he said, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Jesus, with his mouth, declared that eternity is knowing God, and is his Son that God himself has sent. So the sum total of our duty is knowing God. Just knowing more and more and more of him. Just by way of digression, there's something I see a lot of young people. In my practice, I see a lot of young people, and a lot of them will tell me that they don't have any interest in life. They don't have direction. They don't really know what to do. And I remember one day God just told me to begin to tell them that the way to have interest in life is to find out more about whatever it is that is in your life at that time. For example, many of us would know a lot of things that we just simply dismiss and say, "I don't like this thing, I don't like that, I don't know, you know, it means nothing to me." And oftentimes what you find out is that it's because we don't have knowledge in those areas. The more we search, the more we know, the more it starts to make sense to us. It's the same thing with God. The more of him we know, the more we will love him. The more certain things will begin to happen in our lives. And I remember I told us last week that many of us will have heard things like, "She doesn't know God, he doesn't know God, this person knows God, that doesn't know God." And so we set out on a journey to find out, what does it mean to know God? We say, what does it mean to know God? Jesus has already said knowing God is eternal life. So if we are going to have eternal life, which is the reason why we, I believe, we come to church, if we really want eternal life, Jesus says having eternal life is simple. Just know God. So knowing God is a subject that is worthwhile, isn't it? Know him. If that is the sum total of all that we have to do to have eternal life, know him. So we said, let's start to look at what it means to know God. And we, of course, we said there's a difference between awareness, which is merely to recognize the presence or impact of something, as opposed to a conscious and absorbed, detailed awareness of the presence of God and his attributes. So we say it's a conscious thing. We get absorbed in it, and it has to be a detailed knowledge or detailed awareness of God and his attributes. I gave all the example of a car parked outside. I may hear the horn toot, and you ask me, you can ask me other details about the car. You say, what brand is that car? I wouldn't know because it's outside and I'm here, but I'm aware that there's a car there. You say, what color? I won't know what color the car is. So there is a difference between knowing and awareness. And a lot of children of God are just aware of God. They don't really know him. You will know him in Jesus' name. And we say, God starts revealing himself to people usually by introducing himself, calling himself by his name. And usually the names of God reflect the things of who God is and what God can do. I don't have to preach to you about the significance of names. That's why many of us will pray and fast before we give our children names, because we know that names can define somebody's destiny. And a lot of times when God wants to reveal an aspect of himself to that person, he will come in and reveal himself by that name that depicts an aspect. For example, we say Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. He reveals himself. You say Jehovah Rophi, the Lord my shepherd. He will reveal himself to you, that aspect of life that he wants to address in you. I pray God will reveal himself to you in Jesus' name. So we say it's so important that we get to meet God and to know him. And the greatest name that God gave to himself is I am. I am he, or I am who, or what I am. We say that is a name beyond description. He's everything and anything. In him consists all that pertains to life and godliness. Everything. Because the Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 1, you know, 1 to 3, it says, nothing that was created that was not created by him. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So outside of God, there is nothing. In him is everything. He's the I am. He will prove himself in your life in Jesus' name. We said Moses knew him. And that every generation tries to make out what they think of him. And we said, King David, all the instruction that he gave to his son was to know God. He just said, know God. And we also said that having the son and knowing the son equates to knowing God himself. Having the son equates to knowing him. And we also said, you cannot say you know God without knowing his word and doing his word. So you cannot claim the lordship of Jesus if you don't do the word of Jesus, because he and his word are the same. So doing his word will be a mark of you actually knowing him. And we said knowing God can signify intimacy. God said he spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. That is intimacy. In other words, we said a mark of intimacy is that you become interested in God's opinion. I told you how every time I'm coming back from work or I'm going somewhere, I will have to leave a word for my wife and say, look, this is where I'm going. This is how long it's going to take. So, if you are intimate with God, there will be no aspect of your life that you will not commit to His hand. You wouldn't want to go where God will not go with you. You will be the one that will flee every form of iniquity. And we said, that part of intimacy is also to be attentive to God, to know when He wants to draw you closer to Himself. We said a lot of things that happen in our lives sometimes may be because God wants to draw you closer to Himself. I want to tell you, as a pastor, God will go to any length. I remember somebody said, if somebody has not passed the class, will you promote that person? Except they just want to simply drop out. They will have to repeat that class. And I've seen it in my life many times. When God tries to give instruction regarding a particular aspect of my life, and you don't discern, you don't have a spiritual view of things, and you carry on as if nothing has happened, I'm telling you, the same thing will repeat itself in your life again until you get it right, and just know that this is what God is saying. For example, in the past, when trouble is brewing, I used to seek people to listen to me. I like it. Not that I like it, but I will talk to people and say, hear my story, hear what has just happened. Don't you know? I then discovered that God didn't want me to be doing that. You know why? I've shown you before. You cannot look up and down at the same time. You are either trusting God or trusting man. Your help can either come from above or come from below. Praise the Lord. If your help is going to come from Him, you will look at Him alone. If at the same time you want to look at man, then you have not trusted Him. He had to draw me into my hearing until I now learn to go back to Him. After all, in Yoruba land, there's a saying, the one that sent you on an errand is the one you fear, not the person you are going to deliver the message to. I hope I'm right, Daddy. Praise the Lord. The one that sent you on an errand is the one you fear, not the one you want to deliver it to. Eniran inche la beru. I beru enita jefun. Praise the Lord. I have to learn that. That is the one that sent me that I need to be afraid of and fear, not the one I have to deliver it to. How many of us have seen the postman delivering letters to our boxes? Praise the Lord. How many of us, maybe you've been around and you saw the postman? I've seen him. He will come on his bike. And you know, sometimes in those letters, the bank is writing that they want to foreclose somebody's house. Am I right? Somebody is getting a report that in that interview they are not successful. Somebody is getting a report that somebody they know had died. In those letters. But have you ever seen the postman when he's dropping the letter, he's shaking to put the letter inside? He has no business with that. Oh, he comes, he drops a letter for you to read. If you are sent of God, that is who you are. You deliver the letter from God. You will receive a letter of joy this morning in Jesus' name. Let me add number four. To know God is to understand Him and His ways. To know God is to understand Him and His ways. And I hope we are taking these things in. So that when you say you know God, you know what it's all about. If you have not met these conditions, don't say you know God. So knowing God is to understand Him and His ways. Can you say you know somebody? In fact, let me tell you something. This is how they used to do a program on the TV in Nigeria when I was in Ilorin. And you will see people who knew their spouses. What they used to do is this. They will keep the husband in one room, and bring the wife out for everyone to see. And they will be asking the wife simple questions. Like the first thing the husband will do when he wakes up. You know, some husband who wake up, the first thing they do is, you know, because they don't want to go to work. The day is always so terrible to them. The first thing the husband will do, how he reacts to things, and they will be asking all these simple questions. It's so interesting how much we don't know about each other. And of course, after that, they will bring out, you know, they will take the wife in, bring out the husband, and they ask him the same questions, and he will answer them to compare how much they know of each other, and then they do the same thing to the other spouse. And you just discover that a whole lot of times we are so preoccupied with ourselves, we don't even know the next person. And some people have been married for 30 years, 40 years, and they ask them simple questions about their spouse and they don't know. In the same way, it is possible for us to have been coming to church for 50 years and we may not even know the God whom we serve. Can you imagine two people sleep together, wake together, quarrel, laugh, eat together, and so on, and yet they ask you simple things about their habits you don't even know? You will know God in Jesus' name. Open your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 9. The book of Jeremiah chapter 9. God is telling us there that if there's anything that should be a major achievement in your life at all, it is knowing Him. He said, "Thus said the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Praise the Lord. Can you say you are married to a husband? Married to a wife? And you don't even know their best meal, what they like to eat the most. Can you say, you've been married for 20 years, and they say, which is the best soup your husband likes? You don't even know. What is his best drink? You don't know. What are his favorite or commonest words? You don't even know. God is saying, you have to know me. And that there are certain things you have to know about him. You have to know his habits, his ways. First of all, that he is the Lord. First of all, that he is what? The Lord. The Lord means he is the Lord sovereign. Lordship means what? Somebody who is in charge and in control. Somebody whose word is to be obeyed. Those of us from certain parts of Nigeria will know what I'm talking about. I mean, it's not even in Nigeria alone, in India. In those days. And even check your Bible. When you bought a slave, the children that the slave will have will belong to you. Everything about the slave belongs to you. All, everything. In fact, some people were so powerful that when they died, what will happen? They will bury some slave alive with them. That was the kind of power that they had to exercise over the life of their slaves. Thank God for the redeeming power of Jesus. Praise the Lord. But God is saying, I am the Lord. You have to know me as the Lord. In other words, every area of your life that you have not accepted the Lordship of Jesus, any area you separate and put apart and say, no, you see, this is my own view. One of the things we learned at the Sunday school this morning is the fact that error comes because people want to express their views. They say, this is what the Bible says. But I don't believe in this. I don't believe it. This is my own view. This is the way. Look, and we read from the book of Psalms, I think Psalm 19, 7 to 11. And he said, God is not looking for your opinion. He said his reward is in what? In your obedience. Praise the Lord. He said, you have to know me as Lord. If you have not known God as Lord over your life, I said, okay, separate. Go and do your work. You go and do your work. What happens? You go and do your work. Say, embrace him. You embrace him. Forgive him. You forgive him. Pray for him. You pray for him. Bless him. You bless him. Give. You give. That's lordship. He has spoken. It has to be carried out. Because in this, your obedience is your blessing. In recognizing his lordship is your blessing. And I've told you that it's not just your blessing, it's the blessing of the people that will come after you depends on your obedience sometimes, accepting the lordship of him. Open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 54, verse 13. Isaiah 54, 13, he said, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Great shall be their peace. That is after you have yielded to him. The Lord takes over. We have to recognize his lordship. We are trying to know the characters of God. He said, loving kindness. He exercises loving kindness. That's going back to Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, 24 that we read. Loving kindness. Have you tried to look at why God will compound this word loving kindness? Immediately, I don't look at it. Do you know people can show you kindness not because they love you? Huh? Not because they love you. Go and see the way all these farmers look after their goats, their sheep, their cattle, their chickens. Is that loving kindness? Huh? Is that loving kindness? They take care of them. If they are sick, they get the vet to come and give them injection and make sure that they are not sick. Everything is okay. Is that loving kindness? No, it's not loving kindness. It's loving to kill. Praise the Lord. Because one day they will be made for the table. But that is not the kind of God, love that God has. It's a loving kindness. Love that comes out of kindness of heart for you. Not for anything else. That is who God is. this bit you may not like. He said he also loves judgment. That he loves judgment. He loves judgment. In other words, he assigns, if you are wrong, he tells you you are wrong. If you are right, he tells you you are right. He loves righteousness. Open to Exodus chapter 34, verse 5 to 7. Exodus 34, 5 to 7. Hear more. How God introduced himself. He wants people to know him and know his attributes. You will know why very soon. 5 to 7. Exodus 34. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. You see again, he introduced himself. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. That's God introducing himself. He wants people to know him. He says he's the Lord. He says he's very merciful. Merciful. He can't forgo anything. He will pity you. That's why his love is out of kindness. Loving kindness. Loving kindness. Sorry, his kindness is out of love. Loving kindness. He's merciful. He is gracious. So he has always had grace available to his people. Except that people didn't know. The Bible says he is long-suffering. In other words, the fact that he has not punished the sinner now does not mean he has overlooked it. It is just in his nature to be long-suffering. So in other words, if you are doing what is wrong, and because there have not been consequences, the Bible says he causes the rain to fall upon the wicked and the righteous. At the same time, there will be rainfall. Everybody will go and plant. But what needs to happen is that when it starts to happen like that, remember God. Remember God and be afraid of him, because despite all that you are doing, he's still showing you mercy. In fact, what he wants is for us to fear him as a result of that. Not take him for granted. He's long suffering. Definitely, he has not forgotten his word. And he says he's abundant in good and in truth. So God is a God of truth. He forgives iniquity. And he says, by no means will he clear the guilty. By no means, under no circumstance, except the guilty repents. No matter how we put it forward, no matter how we dress it, he said he will never clear the guilty. Except the guilty repents, pleads the blood of Jesus, and turn back on his ways. And he will receive of all the mercies, the grace, and the abundant good that is in God. That will be your portion in Jesus' name. To know God is to be godly. To know God is what? Is to be godly. We say godliness. What is the meaning of godliness? Godliness simply means God-likeness. Being like God. Isn't it? Godliness. Having the attributes of God. So, to have the attributes of God in yourself means all the things we have enumerated earlier on. You know, his loving kindness, his judgment, his righteousness, his truth, they become your attributes. You love the things he loves. You do the things he does. To be like him. The life of the true believer must not be a contradiction of terms. if we are going to be God-like. Can you imagine somebody wrote a book about 2,000 years ago? He wrote a book to say, look, this is my mind. This is who I am. This is what you will do. And this is what I will do in return when you do this. And he has not changed it for so long. And has kept it the same. So we cannot plead ignorance that we don't know. God expects our life to be like that too. That there should be some kind of stability that characterizes the life of a child of God, just like God is stable. In other words, our godliness is evident in all situations and in all circumstances. I want you to open to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1. The book of 2 Peter, chapter 1. Like father, like son. That's what God expects from us. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. So if you have to pattern your life after me. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. I will read from Amplified Version. He said, for his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness, through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellence. In other words, it is through the knowledge of God that we can be like him. God has already given us everything that we need to live godly. But it is through the revelational knowledge of him that we can attain to what God plans for us. By means of this, he has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them you may escape by flight from the moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers, partakers of his divine nature. Praise God. What else do you need? God said he has made provisions. He has made a way of escape for you. Through his great promises as contained in this book, that by taking it as your lifestyle, you will escape the corruption that is in the world. And this corruption comes from what? From lusts and covetousness. The desire to be bigger, better than the other person. We keep grasping. And that's what happens. But God says he has made provisions for you. To bring out godly character in us is to be devoted to doing his will. James 1, 22 to 25. He said, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers alone, deceiving yourselves. Because the reward is in doing. So if somebody says they know God and they are not doing the word, you don't know God. You are just mouthing things. It's about doing the word despite all odds. Even when you stand to be disadvantaged, it's still doing the word. It's not doing it only when it is convenient. It is doing it when it is not convenient. This is what I would like to do. Pray for God because God said so. I can't do it. Lord, okay. The workers who are here yesterday, you saw that young man. And you know what? Except you make a covenant with God, if care is not taken, you will be rising and falling. You saw that there were two people. There was one from childhood. He has always learned to obey instruction. The other person will always rise and fall. And the young man said, God is so merciful. If you keep rising and falling like this, God still uses you. And the wise man of God said to him, he said, yes, truly God will use you. He said, but God will never use you for his highest purpose. Because your degree is BA. You know what BA is? Eh? Begin again. How can you make progress if you're always beginning again? You will always be at the beginning, so you can never be at the top. You'll be at the top in Jesus' name. That is the price we pay if we're always rising and falling, rising and falling, rising. Because you always be, you know, as you're going up, you begin again. You will never get to the highest purpose of God for your life. I want you to think of how gold is made. One of the patients I saw yesterday morning in my practice happens to be an Indian. And she was going, this a young girl, 23-year-old, doing her master's. And she had some problems. From the age of 16, her parents sent her to Canada, from Kenya, to study. From there, came to Australia. And she started struggling. And when we look at her life together, you could see that this girl was well brought up, actually. But because there was no supervision at a critical stage, this girl, 23-year-old girl, would smoke up to 30 cones of marijuana a day. When I say 30 cones, 2 bags every day. And she was telling me her memory, her concentration, she's no longer doing well academically. And I said, how can you do well? How can you do well again? Okay, she left marijuana. Now she drinks, she slushes, she will drink herself to oblivion. And she said, I don't used to be loose like this. But I said, how can you be loose when all your faculty is gone? Do you know what you are doing? I'm serious. Just yesterday morning, I saw her for the first time. Brilliant girl. I told her, things may be difficult. I said, one of the highest consumers of gold in the world is which country? India. You know, dowry, everything is paying gold. I said, you wear gold, you wear a lot of gold. But do you know how gold comes about? Do you know that the purer the gold is, the more fire that gold has endured? Because you have to put gold in fire, burn it, and burn the chaffs. All the impurities have to be burned. So if you hear 24 carat, it means it's almost 100%. 22 carat, a certain percentage of this thing is there. 9 carat, and so on. So the purer it is, the more fire it has endured. So if you cannot endure the word of God, when things are tough, you cannot be purified. Because the word of God is like the refiner's fire to change our lives, to transform us. Convenience will never produce the best of you. It's that period of inconvenience that will produce and make the best out of your life. Some people run away from feeling bad. I tell them, I say, no. Why would you run away? Because, anything that makes people to feel uncomfortable, I didn't know that before. No, you don't have to run. Because out of that crucible, the Lord will make the best out of you. If you know God, you will know that God is greater than that situation. And he will prove himself in your life in Jesus' name. So you cannot be godly if you will practice Christianity only when it's out of convenience. Also, you cannot be godly if you tend to focus primarily on now and you do not have your focus on eternity. God's focus is on what? On eternity. everyone who looks to focus on now, the inconvenience of now, this, you know, trouble of now, this now. I used to be like that. I just want to get rid of it. Who says? Who says? It's out of this that we develop our spiritual muscles. Praise the Lord. It's out of these trials and tribulations. The Bible says, be of good cheer because what? I've overcome the world. In it, we've learned to rejoice. And that's what has made all the difference. Praise the Lord. As a father, as a husband, if you learn to rejoice, even in difficult situations, your home environment will be different. It will be different. Praise the Lord. To know God is to fear Him. Anyone who says they know God and they don't fear Him, it means they don't know Him. I know a lot of people don't want to hear the word fear. God is loving, He's kind, He's so gentle. That gentle Holy Spirit, He just speaks to your mind. You know, He never raises His voice. He's so, that's all we want to hear. But the Bible says He's also a consuming fire. To know Him is to do what? Is to fear Him. People say they don't want to fear. It's not true. If you have a good job where they are paying you $2 million a year now, and there's anything that will make you lose that job, you'll be shaking like leaf. It's not true. They fear. Am I right? That's true. You have a good job. The boss pays you very well. And you know something that will cause you, you know, to lose that job, you will start to panic like this. You start to shake. They say, aha. If you know that God is greater than that boss, you will fear Him. If you have an understanding of who He is, you will also fear Him. My wife and I and one of our kids went to Bosswood to eat lunch on, was it Friday? And when we got there, it happened that there were some basketballers who were in town. Maybe they are lodging there or something. And so when we went to serve ourselves, I happened to pass by the side of one of them. And the guy was looking at the center of my head. He was right here. Can you imagine if I have to fight him? I wouldn't even dare. Honestly, he was looking at the center of my head. He was like this, taller than me. He would be well over 2 meters. That guy. And when I was preparing this message, then I said, can I confront a man like that? No matter how stupid he may look, I will never even dare to. Praise the Lord. Because all he will do is just fall on me and wait for the count of three, and I will stop breathing. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the Almighty God. God is greater, He's bigger, He's mightier, He's wiser. To know Him is to fear Him. If you think of His size, do you know the size of God? Do you know how big God is? Praise the Lord. Okay, I will tell you how big He is. First of all, the Bible makes me to understand that His palm is so big that He measures all the waters of the earth in the palm of His hand. And you know the 3/4 of the earth is what? It's water. Yet He measures it. He scoops it in His hand. Can you imagine that? He is so big that he sits in heaven, and his legs are so long that he makes the earth his footstool. Can you imagine that? He's so big and filled heaven that heaven could not occupy him, and he, the rest of him has to flow to the earth. Praise the Lord. How many of us has watched, is it Transformer 3 in 3D? I went to watch Transformer 3 in 3D with my children, and they made us to sit in the front. And you see, when those cars got transformed and they are coming at you, praise the Lord, you know, right in the front, you know, the Bible says God is so mighty. His power, his glory, his wisdom, his purity. No wonder. Remember Isaiah. When Isaiah got to see the Lord, what did he say? He said, woe is me. Woe is me. I have seen the King of Glory. Because he's so pure, he's so righteous. In other words, his righteousness will make you humble. If you are not humble and you say you have seen, you know God, you don't know God, it's not true. It means you have nothing to compare yourself with. Because everyone who have seen God, ask Ezekiel, everyone, Jeremiah, everyone who has seen God, what do? In trepidation, they tremble. They never big boast in the flesh anymore. Do you know what? He says, his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. He said, as the heavens are far away from the earth, so are the ways and the thoughts of the Lord far away. Do you know him? Do you know? The heavens. He didn't say heaven. The heavens. Look at it. How many discoveries have been made, and they will measure certain things. They will say Jupiter, Venus. They are so many light years away. And God is saying, as far away as those ones are from the earth, that is how far his wisdom, his thought is far away from those of men. Praise the Lord. Can you imagine who God is? Can you compare yourself with him? Do you know him? Lastly, there are seven things I've given you now. The seventh one. To know him is to trust him. One way that you will know that you know God is to, if he's that all that powerful, why wouldn't you trust him? To know him is to trust him. Because Jesus knew him, that was why Jesus could trust him with his life. Jesus knew God, that was why Jesus was able to trust God with his life. You remember the worker of yesterday that we said, and the guy said, when it was time, because of death, you chicken out. You are afraid. If you know him, you'll be able to commit all that pertains to you to him, because he will perfect that concerns you. Praise the Lord. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12:2. To know him is to trust him. Jesus had to put his trust in him. And verse 22 to 29 of the same Hebrews, he says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuse him that speak on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he had promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signified the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. If we know him, enough of politics, enough of games. Let's serve him reverently. Let's serve him in a way that is acceptable to him. Let's serve him with fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Let's rise up. All that Paul lived for was for that I may know him. He said that I may know him. That I may know him. That is all that Paul lived for. Why don't you speak to God and say, Daddy, that I may just know you. That I may just know. Knowing you is eternity. Knowing you is eternal life. That I may know you, Daddy. Let everything about me be to know you, Daddy. In you is my breakthrough. In you is my success. In you is my victory. In you is my great reward. In you is my strength. In you is my tomorrow, that I may know you. The power of your resurrection, Daddy. The grace that is inherent in the name of your Son, that I may know you. The depth, the breadth, the height of your loving kindness, that I may know you. Daddy, that I may know you. Whatever is going to cost me, Daddy, I want to know more and more and more and more and more and more of you, O God. Until none of me is left, Daddy, that I may know you. All I want is to know you. Ask God to reveal himself to you, that I may know you, O Lord. No sacrifice is too much. Daddy, if I want to stray, bring me back. Constrain me, O Lord, to love you all the days of my life. I want to know you. That's what matters to me, that I may know you, Daddy. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Reveal yourself to me, O God, afresh. I want to know you because that is eternal life. If I know you, it will be well with me. If I know you, it will be well with my family. If I know you, it will be well with my children. If I know you, it will be well with my work. If I know you, I will prosper in all that I lay my hands upon to do. Lady, reveal yourself to me that I may know you. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we have heard your word. Before now, we might have thought we knew you. And our lives have not been conformity with who you are. My Daddy and my God, from today, let there be a reorientation in the name of Jesus. In the lives of your people, let there be a reorientation in the name of Jesus. Let there be a transformation in the name of Jesus. all that pertains to life and godliness. As you have given us, we receive today. As you have given us, Daddy, we receive today in Jesus' name. None of our lives will ever be the same again. The glory of your presence will follow us, because we will live our life in obedience to you. Lord, your faithfulness that accrues to those who live in obedience to you will be our portion in the mighty name of Jesus. Even when it looks like things are becoming impossible and doors have been closed against us, as we hold on to you and trust you, Daddy, at the nick of time, you will appear for our sake in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.